Our Old Testament reading comes from Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose anyone in need. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed to light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus is speaking here and he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, or real food, and my blood is true, real drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to bow your heads and pray with me as we begin our message this morning. Loving Father, we once again thank you for providing us with your word, which gives us nourishment for life. Speak through me now those words of nourishment that you would have us hear. We pray through Jesus. Amen. I'd like to ask you a rather silly question. How many of you like to eat? Oh, there's one big hand back there. Yeah, okay. Just a few of you like to eat. What's the matter with you? We like to eat. How often do you eat? 3, 4, 5, 6? Times a day? You know, as a retired guy, I have all kinds of time on my hands, and so this last week I found myself reading through the Portland Metro Yellow Pages. Bob can relate to that. He's laughing about this. Do you know how many grocery stores are in the Portland metro area? This tells you 4.5 yellow pages worth. You know, and these yellow pages are 3 columns per page, some of them, a fine print. 4.5 pages of grocery stores. You know how many Safeway stores? How many think? Guesses? 43. Albertsons, 19. I had fun doing all this. 7-Elevens, 84. And hundreds of other grocery stores. That's a lot of food. And you know how many? All right, how many of you like to go out to eat? Lots of choices there. 32 pages. 32 pages of restaurants. I didn't count the numbers of those. How many? Well, a little trivia for you. Of the fast food chains, which one of these do you think has the most restaurants? McDonald's, Taco Bell, or Subway? Subway has 90. McD's has 53. Taco Bell has 27. 33 Burger Kings, 19 Wendy's, 18 Jack in the Box, 17 Burgervilles, plus hundreds of other restaurants and cafes and buffets and coffee shops and donut holes and you know, hospitals have restaurants. They're not mentioned in here. Costco. Anyway, food is big business. All right, confession time. How many of you like junk food? Oh, lots more hands than the first time I asked. Yeah. Potato chips, corn chips, tortilla chips, cheese curls, cookies, all kinds of cookies, candy bars, ice cream bars, gallons of buckets of ice cream, soda pop, Kool-Aid, on and on and on and on, junk food. Now what good is there in junk food? What does junk food offer us? Calories, cholesterol, sugar, fats, all of that stuff. Not much benefit there, except that it tastes so good. Huh? But it's not good for us, is it? So, seriously, obviously, it's best for us to stick with good, nutritious food. Why? To stay alive. To stay healthy. To keep the weight down. Control the cholesterol. To control our sugar intake, whatever. Good food gives us vitamins and nutrients and minerals to make our kids grow, right? And to give us strength and to keep us from catching a cold or the flu. Our bodies need good food. And that's why we pray every day, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus said in John 6, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. And he said, my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink, according to the NIV translation. So Jesus was not talking about junk food here, was he? He was talking about real food. You know, kids come home from college and they can't wait to eat mom's cooking because it's real food, huh? It's not that stuff they have to eat in the dorms. And again, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, the living bread. If a man eats of this living bread, he will live forever. You know, food from the grocery store, Safeway, wherever you shop, food at restaurants, they're going to keep us alive only until we die. How long do you all want to live? The food that I've eaten has gotten me into the 70s. 80, 90, 100? I don't know. Spiritual food, the food that Jesus is talking about here, gives life that never ends. He said, if a man eats this bread, he will live forever. So another silly question. Which food is more important? Spiritual food or physical food? And if it's spiritual food, then how often do we eat spiritual food? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks maybe? Or maybe just once a week here on Sundays, Maybe, hopefully, every day in our devotion time. But 4, 5, 6 times a day? I doubt it. So why is it that I and you probably too neglect this spiritual food? Why do we starve our souls? Have you ever seen a malnourished person? Maybe on television, those gut-wrenching pictures of a child, you know, a naked child with the big stomach, the hard stomach. I mean, you don't know if it's hard, but it is because of malnutrition, huh? They have that sad, faraway look in their eyes. Without food, there can be no life. Without spiritual food, there can be no life. And that's why Jesus said here in this John 6, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Now, the obvious question that the Jesus listeners asked here, and you and I asked the same kind of a question, is how can this man give us his flesh to eat? The Jews there were kind of looking at this as cannibalism, huh? Because Jesus very clearly said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. What do you mean? What did he mean? Well, he certainly wasn't talking about cannibalism. And he wasn't talking about us becoming vampires. We know that Jesus comes to us in one of two, or well, three ways. He comes to us through our Bibles, through the Word in our Bibles, and he comes to us how? In the sacraments, right? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. We call those the means of grace, the ways in which God brings us his food, his love and forgiveness and all of that. And some Bible scholars here think that Jesus was talking in this passage here, he was referring to the Lord's Supper. And so we certainly believe, do we not, that we do eat his flesh, his body, we drink his blood, not in a physical way, but in a kind of a spiritual way, in a kind of a supernatural way, in with and under the bread, the wafer, and the wine. Other scholars think that he wasn't really referring directly to the Lord's Supper. They say that Jesus is talking about his being in us, you know. Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. And I'm going to touch on that just in a minute here. So either way that we interpret this, this is spiritual food for spiritual life. Now, if we ignore this, you know, if we reject or refuse to eat of Christ and to receive his spiritual food through word and sacrament, then we're going to live only as long as our physical food keeps us alive. Again, how long do you want to live? 50 years? Some of you young folk. 60 years, you young folk. 70, 80, 90, 120? Or an eternity of years? How long do you want to live? If there's no spiritual food, there will be no eternity of years. I read a while back of a lady in Iowa who had written down her thoughts as she was receiving communion in her church. She was sitting up in the balcony of the church. She was looking down at the communion rail, and apparently that church distributes their wine in the little cups placed on the communion rail. And she said the sun was shining through a stained glass window behind her, and it was leaving this beautiful kind of a jeweled pattern, whatever, above the communion cups there. And she said as the organist was playing softly, as the choir was singing, and the pastor was distributing communion, She reflected upon those Sundays when she had missed receiving the sacrament. And she thought to herself, you know, there was a cup there just for me, even though I didn't show up. She said it's kind of like, you know, setting the table for the family at lunch on Sunday noon, and one of the family members not coming. Friends, you and I have a special invitation to our Lord's Supper. There's a cup there in the tray, or a sip of wine in the chalice, just for you and for me. And there's a wafer there with your name on it, the very body, the very blood of Jesus Christ. We have a table reservation here at God's first-class restaurant each and every Sunday morning. Spiritual food for eternal life. Jesus said our forefathers ate manna and died. Now, you remember the story of the manna. Manna was a real blessing for those people. A saving blessing that kept them alive for how long? Remember? 40 years. 40 years out there in the desert. Yet, that physical food can keep them alive only so long. And no matter how nutritious, how vitamin-packed your Safeway food or your Subway food or whatever it is you may have, we need more than that. How many of you take daily vitamins, supplements? Yeah. But even with these, we're only going to live so long here on this earth. So we need lasting spiritual food. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And only God's restaurant can provide that bread of life. My 86-year-old mother, about 12 years ago, was so ready to die. Her health was not good there at the last. She was lonely. My dad had died some 10 years earlier. And I think I've told you this, I don't know, but my sister was killed in a car accident when she was 17. My brother was killed in an accident later in life. Both had to do with alcohol of the other drivers. And Mom just didn't want to live any longer on this earth. Her quality of life was not good. Not that she wanted to commit suicide or to leave or go through euthanasia, not at all. She just didn't want to suffer any longer. She didn't want to be alone any longer. She wanted her life on this earth to end so that she could continue her eternal life in heaven with my dad. And my sister and my brother and with Jesus, of course. She just could not wait for the best that life could offer. With no illness, no pain, no suffering, no loneliness whatsoever, but joy, peace, and comfort. And she truly believed here what Jesus said. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Did you notice the verb in that little statement? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. What verb tense is that? Present tense. Does that apply to you and me? Today? Now? So what do we have? Eternal life. We've started to live in eternity already. Already. So far this morning, we've been feasting on God's Word. In a few minutes, Jesus is going to offer us His nutritious supper. And we digest what was read in God's Word, what we hear in this message here. In a few minutes, we'll digest Christ's body and blood in this special supper. And as we digest Christ's real food in faith, it's given through God's Word again. It's given through the Lord's Supper. That food just permeates us with Jesus. He permeates our very being. Again, Jesus becomes a part of us and we become a part of him. We believers and Jesus are one, one together. This then makes the hearing of God's word and receiving Holy Communion high points in our scripture, in our worship service, does it not? Just high points, climax. The word communion, Latin word, communion, with union. With union. We're in union with Jesus and we're in union with each other as we come forward here. Communion. And in a few minutes, when I receive the supper, I'm going to be in union with Jesus, with you all as you partake, with my mom and my dad, even though they have been gone 12 years, 22 years, my sister and brother, more than that, I'm in union with them in a very special spiritual way. And this meal is going to fill me personally with love and forgiveness and the spiritual food that I need to live forever. And I pray that's true for all of you too, as you trust, as you believe. Jesus offers us the most intimate of his love, his grace, his forgiveness. And I pray that we will go home this morning filled with love and joy, filled with peace and fulfillment, filled with encouragement and strength for the coming week. We're one with Christ. We're one with each other. He's in us. We're in him. So, junk food that the world has to offer, or real food, what Jesus offers. We either eat or we starve. Christ is the real food that's necessary for life, and God offers that to us as a free gift. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us salvation and life in this special, real food, Jesus Christ. So may our spiritual hunger pains always be satisfied as we trust in the bread of life. Amen? Amen. We pray. Lord God, we thank you for offering us the bread of life which we so desperately need in order to live. Remind us to quench our thirst and to satisfy our spiritual hunger by coming frequently for your bread, the feast of your word, the feast of your supper. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.